Clear skies, 22 degrees, 7:37 on the Steve Hawkins Show on this Tuesday morning. Tuesdays we talk business with consultant Alan Gwynn, and he is here this morning in business casual. Good morning.
Good morning. It is business casual, is it not?
Maybe a tad cold for your business casual, but okay, your choice. Welcome back to the program. You're always welcome to fire questions at Alan. Seek his comments, and we look forward to your comments on what we're discussing this morning, which is resume fraud is on the increase, and I'm not surprised.
Should we call it rampant? Probably not yet, but it's headed that direction, it appears.
Well, if you look at the number of employers that say they have found it versus the number of people who say they've done it, then rampant might be the correct word.
Between 53% and 80% of resumes contain some sort of falsification. That's an indicting number, don't you think?
I do.
And the interesting thing is, between AccuScreen, ADP, and the Society of Human Resource Managers, in their survey, they said that 70% of college students that were surveyed said that they would lie on a resume to get a job that they want. Now, that is an indictment.
It is. It is. Just my opinion, okay?
Sure,
I think there are
sure.
two sides of this issue. I think there is that situation that someone finds themselves in. They took a job. They were there for 3 months. They lost the job. It just was not a good fit. It didn't work out. And now they have a decision to make. On their resume. How do I list this on my resume? Do I leave it off? Do I leave a blank? Do I change the date of this one and this one to cover it up? A lot of people have been in that position and have looked at that and made a choice. You just have to know that you're running a risk if you aren't absolutely accurate. But the fact is, Alan, you're running a risk if you are accurate.
That's correct. You are indeed. And with the 3-month issue, what I would say to that is, as you know, I've been a hiring manager for companies, and I have worked for clients as their hiring manager. I would rather see that 3 months on there and know that they took a job and be able to ask the question. I mean, give me the benefit of the opportunity to say, what happened in this 3-month time window? I mean, and as the candidate, you need to be able to say, it didn't work out. And let me tell you why.
So is this the time to say that honesty is always the best policy?
That's a really difficult question to answer.
I think it is.
I think it is, too. And I think most of our listeners would say it is. I would like to say, absolutely, always be completely honest on resumes. But since I was quoted on CNN a couple of years ago as saying that everyone tends to shade resumes, I don't think that shading a resume, so to speak, is incorrect. I think that you write your resume and target it at the employer that you're headed toward. There's absolutely nothing wrong with talking about the abilities that you have and painting them in the best picture possible in order to get that resume in front of the employer and get an interview. Because a resume isn't going to get you the job. What's going to get you the job is the ability to present yourself well. It's going to be the ability to demonstrate to an employer that you know what needs to be done in order to successfully complete the job and you have those skills that are necessary. And I think that more than anything else, people that go in and falsify resumes and get an interview and for some reason they're able to slide into a job have a bigger problem because they may not know how to successfully complete that job. Mm-hmm. One of the when I was doing the research for this show, one of the comments that was made was, hey, guess what? If you're interviewing with a high-level person in the company and you say that you have this particular ability and you go in and you're talking to that person and you can't communicate well about a skill that you've said that you have, Don't you think that's going to show up? I think that's going to show up very quickly. I know in my case, when I'm talking to someone and doing an interview, and let's say, for example, they say they know a great deal about negotiation. I'm going to ask them, tell me what you know about negotiation. What's the best negotiation style? What have you used in the past? What's been successful for you? I mean, those are just logical mm-hmm. questions for someone that says that they're an expert in that area or has experience in that area. And if they sit there and they can't answer a question about negotiation or they don't understand any of the principles, that immediately is going to be a huge red flag for me. And I think it is for most employers.
If everyone fudges, and there's a difference in a flat-out lie and a
yes.
fudge, but if
yes.
everyone fudges, then there's a good possibility that the person that you work for lied on their resume.
Let me tell you, one of the things that really, I was thinking about the show as I was driving up here today, and one of the things that really struck home with me was the fact not only that the person that's interviewing you may have fudged on their resume in order to get the job, but it goes even beyond that. And it goes to the point that you as the applicant need to be able to successfully do that job. And if you can't successfully do that job, but you're put in it anyway, the worst risk is that you're going to be branded as a fraud. Mm. The worst risk is that you're going to be branded as a fraud. And if you expect to get some other job in the same industry, good luck with that, because mm-hmm. that's going to spread very quickly that so-and-so interviewed for the job and they didn't have the experience.
Yeah, and if
people
do
talk.
Oh, absolutely. And if you decide to do it, you need to understand that it's easier for you to get caught now than ever before. With social media and LinkedIn and these, you know, if you put information on LinkedIn that says I've done this, this, and this, the numbers of persons that are looking at your LinkedIn page, somebody's going to look at that and go, he did not, or I didn't know that about her, and it just makes it easier to get caught.
How many times do we tell people that are out in the real world, be very careful because your life is an open book on Google? I've said it to clients. You know, if you want to know anything about me, I can give you references. You can call people. You can talk to people. Or just Google me, because there's about 64,000 references to Alan Gwynn and the Gwynn Consultancy Group and the work that we've done for clients and comments that people have put online about mm-hmm. us. And, of course, with LinkedIn, you have that whole endorsement segment, too. You know, there's a company that's actually gone into business now and says that what they will do is they will allow you to fill up a resume with names of companies, and you can put addresses of the companies, and you can put telephone numbers, and they have live human beings that will confirm you actually worked for that company in that period of time. And here's how they defend it, because I think it's really, you know, you and I would look at that and go, wow. But the way they defend it is this. They defend it by saying that a resume is not a legal document, and so it's not illegal to misrepresent information on your resume.
But don't you generally have to transfer what's on your resume to the legal document, the job application?
Yes.
Then you run into a problem.
You would run into a problem there. Another thing that they say is that they won't guarantee that you won't get caught. And that, to me, would be a huge red flag mm-hmm. to use the service. And they also say, if you do get caught, they're not going to be liable. They'll accept no liability whatsoever for that, which you would only expect. And they also don't make any guarantees or promises that you'll get a job based on the information that they furnish on your behalf. Is that not something to actually look at and go, I can't believe we've gotten to this place? Yeah.
I mean, can you?
What can you say?
Yeah, think about that conversation. I've got a business idea. We create lies for people. That's
yes.
our new business.
Yeah, it's an app.
Wow.
It's an app
Gosh.
That you can put on your cell phone.
Well, let's talk about some of the numbers, okay?
Sure.
80% of all job seekers submit resumes that contain misleading information and qualification details. 80%. I know you said earlier it ranges from, what is it, 53 to 80%.
Yeah.
75% have lied about the duration of their employment. 64% dishonest about their personal accomplishments. And I thought this was very telling. More than 50% of applicants say they have a degree when they've only attended.
Yes.
But they take that next step and say, I've had a degree.
Another thing that lots of times that I've found in resumes that have been submitted to me is that the job descriptions that people list don't really correctly represent what the job was that they did. In other words, they may embellish the job description and make it sound like they were much more important or their responsibilities were much more extensive than what they were. And along with that, you've got the inflated salary claim thing. You know, for a long time, I remember years ago when I was going through the interview process, companies would say, and bring us your last W-2 or bring us a pay stub. Mm-hmm. So they could verify that the income that you were claiming was actually what you were getting. I think most companies have gotten away from that now. I think there have been enough laws that have been put into place that HR departments are concerned about doing that.
Maybe you should just take a minute and explain the difference in the resume and the job application.
Oh, sure, absolutely. A resume is a document which basically outlines what you have done, and it can be in all sorts of different formats. There are different schools of thought on how a resume should be positioned. Should it be positioned in terms of levels of responsibility? Should it be positioned in terms of the various job descriptions that you've held in the past? Or should it be listed just as two employers that you've had in the past? If someone is a young employee, someone that let's say is up into the age of about 30 that doesn't have a lot of job experience, it's probably going to be best not to list specific employers, but to list the various types of jobs that you've had and the responsibilities that you've had, those key characteristics of those jobs. Because employers more than often now are looking to see what responsibilities you bring to the job. What have you done in the past? What experience do you have that's going to benefit them? And in a lot of cases, as you know from the profitability issues that so many companies are going through, they want to see what you're going to be able to produce in terms of profitability. So those are going to be the real key things that they're going to be looking for. Now you compare that to a job application. A job application becomes a formal document which you fill out and you give similar indications on the job application of what you've had on your resume. The information may be positioned somewhat differently. It's a formal document and you're generally required to sign the job application that what you have placed on that job application is accurate to the best of your knowledge and the best of your ability.
And if it's not, what are the implications of signing a legal document?
Typically, what's going to happen will be if you sign a job application, you put your John Henry on the bottom line, and the company finds out that you have misrepresented facts on that job application, you'll typically be terminated. A company is not going to keep someone on who has misrepresented those facts. Now, there are always extenuating circumstances, and you might get a written warning, and after a year's probation or whatever, you might be able to continue in the job. But for all practical purposes, if you lie on a job application, expect that you can lose your job.
And that creates a problem that is very difficult to overcome, because now you have a moment that you were employed, and then you lost that job, and you're going to have to explain it.
February 2014 to February 2014. Mm-hmm. How do you explain that? And the one thing I will say is this. More and more people do have various entries like that on their resumes through no fault of their own, because there are many companies now that will hire an individual and then the economic situation changes and the company decides this person is expendable, and mm-hmm. so they'll be cut loose. If that's the case, and if you find yourself in that type of situation, there's absolutely nothing wrong with showing that on your resume, because you can explain, I was brought on, it was a cutback at the company level, and so consequently I lost my job.
I have a really good friend who was a TV news director, and he had the opportunity to move back home, okay, close to where he grew up, to take a job, and it was, you know, the place that he thought he'd be able to settle down for a long time. He accepts the job. He is moving into his house, and the general manager who hired him comes by that Saturday morning and said, hey, I just want to let you know that I'm retiring.
Mm.
And within a couple of days, he was out of a job.
Yeah.
New GM comes in, says, I hope you understand. I want my own people. You may be perfectly acceptable news director, but I want my own person. So, you know, we're going to give you some severance. We'll not be able to use you. And he has this thing that's got to go on his resume now that, you know, I was employed by this station for 2 weeks.
Right.
And then they let me go. And he used it to his advantage to say,
how interesting.
I'm already packed.
Oh, what a great line. Isn't that super?
Here's what happened. I'm still packed. I'm ready to go right now. I can be on the job instantly. And he ended up getting a better job in a bigger market than he had. I thought it was a really smart way of handling a bad situation to say, you know, here's what happened. I'm on the beach, but I'm also packed and ready to go to work for you right now.
I had a similar situation happen in my background where I had been interviewed for a position by a gentleman that I just thought was going to be a great person to work for. And I accepted the position. And 2 weeks after I started in the role, had not even gone through the training process, the gentleman, guess what? Took another job, went to another company.
Mm.
And so all of a sudden, I was living in California, traveling to the East Coast for a training program, knew no one in the company. And the guy who hired me was no longer there. So I had a new boss that I had not even met yet. That's a difficult position to be put in.
Yeah,
I can appreciate that.
We talked earlier about the high percentage of resumes that have been fudged. I find it interesting that these numbers match up. You have a number in the high 70s of resumes that have been fudged. But you also have a number in the mid-70s of people who say they would never lie on their resume.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it happens, and then
they forget it. They forget that they did it. There was a case just last week, the case of Matthew Martoma, which I know you covered. He was a former SAC Capital Advisors employee, and he was convicted of conspiracy and securities fraud charges. Because years before the trading scandal, the court transcripts showed that he had been expelled from Harvard Law School after forging a transcript to submit for a clerkship. So this type of thing can follow you for years and years and years, and you think you're going to get away with it, and, oh, I've gone on to another job, and it can still come back and bite you.
Yeah. Sometimes it's out of frustration. People who've been unemployed for a long, long time,
yes,
are trying desperately to get something, and they fudge to just try to get a job, to try to get back into the workforce again.
Anything that's going to help them to open a door so they can get an interview. Because if they can get – here's the thing you need to think about. Your resume does not get you the job. I know I've said that before, and I've said that before on this program. But your resume doesn't get the job. All the resume does is open the door for you to get in and be able to demonstrate to the potential employer what you can do, how you can do it.
And even though the numbers are in your favor, it's a bad idea.
Not a good idea.
50% of hiring managers say they've caught someone. So if 70% of resumes or more have been fudged, then the numbers are in your favor that you're not going to get caught.
Right.
But you have to consider what you're putting on the line if you do.
It's got to be a decision that you make that you're willing to take that chance. And as for me, I would recommend don't take the chance.
Well, and know that technology makes it easier.
Absolutely.
To check up on you. And, you know, if nothing else, that's an incentive to be honest, knowing that your chances of getting caught are actually higher than you might imagine.
They are higher than you would imagine. Absolutely.
Yeah. Our business guy, Alan Gwynn, give us your contact info.
Hey, you can email me, agwynn@thegwynnconsultancygroup.com, or you can call or text me, 800-335-9269. Love to hear from listeners.
Alan's always willing to answer your questions and enjoys getting your comments and shares those with me. And there are a considerable number of them.
Hey, you know what? If people have fudged on a resume, they should, and you want to clear your conscience, send me an email and tell me your story. I'd love to hear it.
We won't use it on the air.
No, I promise we won't use it on the air.
Just be between you and Alan if you want to get it off your chest. Well, we'll take a break for traffic, weather, and news at the top of the hour. There is a lot more of the Steve Hawkins Show still out front. We hope you will stay with us this morning. It is 22 degrees at 7:58.